laws of divine law, we find peace and harmony. Adherence to Sharia, a blessing for you and me.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Adherence to Sharia Before we get into the episode let's hear an excellence of reciting Durood Sharif The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever recites Salat upon me 100 times, Allah Ta'ala inscribes between his eyes that this person is free from hypocrisy and free from the fire of hell. And Allah Ta'ala will keep such a person with the shuhada, the martyrs on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madin Channel, we're reaping the blessings of Ramadan Kareem and we previously discussed the importance of this month. Significance of this month in the life of a believer. It could be a life-changing month if spent correctly. We also heard about those who violate the sanctity of this month, who go against the commands of Allah and the Sharia even in this month, and what punishments lie in store for them, ma'azallah. And in this episode, we're going to discuss the importance of one particular ibadat, although many various forms of ibadat take place in this month. We are fasting, obviously, which is significant. We have recitation of the Quran, tilawatul Quran. People give zakat, people give sadaqah, fitrana. But one ibadat, this is so important in the life of a believer that not only must we fulfill it in Ramadan Kareem, but even out of Ramadan. This is different to fasting. So fasting 1 month in a year. It's obligatory for you to fast in Ramadan. After Ramadan, if you choose to fast, it's voluntary. Or if due to a lawful reason you couldn't fast in Ramadan, you make it up outside. But for most people, it's voluntary. If they don't have any fasts that they must atone for. But this ibadat that I'm talking about is salah. Worshipping Allah by praying your salah, your namaz. Now, whether you're in Ramadan, whether you're out of Ramadan, you're baligh, you're an adult, Islamically speaking, and there's no other obstacle, shari'i obstacle, meaning a shari'i reason or excuse for you to miss your namaz, then you must perform it 5 times a day. Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha. So we must be habitual in performing our 5 daily salah outside Ramadan so that when we enter Ramadan, second nature, we're used to it anyway, we're maintaining our prayers anyway. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Quran Al-Kareem regarding the prayer. Remember there are so many verses that allude to salah, some directly, some indirectly. But let me mention a few verses. Surah Baqarah verse 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ Allah ta'ala is describing the pious. Muttaqeen, and he's saying that they are those who establish the prayer. And here what it means is, they are steadfast in the prayer. It does not mean that you perform only Jumu'ah. Some people have this concept. I perform my Jumu'ah, I'm excused for the rest of the week, ma'adallah. They won't say that, but their amal is showing that. They believe that only Jumu'ah is fard. Just like Jumu'ah is fard, your Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha is also fard as well. We'll be asked about this. The first question will be about Salah on the Day of Judgment. In another verse of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ And establish the Salah. In Surah Taha, Allah ta'ala says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي And establish the prayer for my remembrance. Who is saying this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's telling us to establish prayer. This is our means of remembering Him, doing His dhikr. Jalla Jalalu. Then in Surah Maryam, verse 59, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about such people who remained afterwards, who remained behind, who wasted their prayer. أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ And they followed their carnal desires. فسوف يلقون غيا, and soon they will enter غي. غي is a particular area in hellfire. So what does he say? Those who wasted their prayer. They didn't offer their prayer. Fajr came, Zuhr came, Asr came, Maghrib came, Isha came. They were negligent. They were too involved in the dunya. People speak about deen and dunya. If you are participating in works of the dunya, but it's not affecting your deen, your salah, it's fine. You're making sure that at salah time, you're standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. Make good intentions, your dunya will become your deen as well. Meaning your dunya will become a means of strengthening your deen. Earning reward in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here we're told that people, they wasted their prayers. They didn't read their prayers. They followed their carnal desires. That's why they're entering ghay. In Sadr al-Sharia, Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi rahmatullahi alayhi, he speaks about ghay. He says it's a valley in hellfire whose warmth, meaning the heat of that particular part of hell, is the hottest, severest. And its depth is also the biggest as well. It's very deep. And in that area, ghay, there is a well called Habhab. Now, what's the purpose of this well? When the fire of hell is about to extinguish, this well is opened, because of which hellfire is ignited once again. And you can imagine the heat, the severity of that heat when this is the case. Allah Ta'ala says, كُلَّمَا خَبَتْ زِدْنَاهُمْ سَعِيرًا, that when it's about to extinguish, we increase it further, meaning in terms of its heat, the severity of the heat. So who has this place been reserved for? Astaghfirullah. It says for those who missed their prayers, for those who committed adultery, for those who are alcoholics, for those who consumed interest, for those who pained and harmed their parents, they will enter that particular place. Allahu Akbar. Now, think about it for a moment. The blessed, nurani, enlightened moments of Ramadan are here. We're blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're living in the month of Ramadan. We're breathing in the month of Ramadan. Such a great opportunity. Now, we can make this month a means of great reward in the court of Allah, a means of closeness to Allah. On the other hand, Ramadan Kareem, despite all its mercy and blessings, showering day and night, can become a means of us entering the fire of hell. And specifically, ghay. Why? Because someone who, even in the month of Ramadan, has no shame and he just wastes his salah, he's liable for punishment. In ghay. We just heard about ghay as well. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forever distances us from the fire of hell. Ameen. But we have to work for it as well. We have to work for that salvation. We have to work for being distanced from the fire of hell and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general. We have to do righteous a'mal. Otherwise, look at the punishments that lie in wait for those people who miss their salah, who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If today our bare foot or to be placed on a cigarette that's been thrown on the floor, imagine the scream we'd let out. Or we were in a hot country and we stepped outside without any shoes on. Allahu Akbar. We won't be able to bear it. We'd stay indoors. But here, that fire of hell, when it's about to extinguish, it's ignited once again. Who is it for? Those who miss their salah. Those who commit adultery. Those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by drinking alcohol. Those who consume interest. Those who disobey their parents. So, a person can never be confident that he'll be able to bear it. In fact, the ulama say, whoever even claims this, that I will be able to bear the punishment of Allah, in a way that he's mocking the punishment of Allah, this will render him out of the fold of Islam. When we can't even bear the tribulations of the dunya, then what about the akhirah? Especially hellfire, which is created for that sole purpose of punishing people for their wrongdoings. That's why we seek afiyah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah that He gives us tawfiq to not violate the the laws of Sharia outside of Ramadan and especially in the month of Ramadan as well. Millions and millions of people are being forgiven. We need to be amongst those. We need to do righteous actions. We need to make ourselves worthy. We need to position ourselves to be worthy and deserving of the rewards of Allah, the mercy of Allah, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if we put this thing before us, we assess our own situation. Are we resembling shaitan or are we resembling the people of Rahman? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's chosen slaves. Shaitan was told to bow down to Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. He rejected. He showed arrogance. Allah ta'ala rejected him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him an outcast. Allah ta'ala removed him from his lofty position. Remember, shaitan reached a position where he was mu'allimul malakut. He was the teacher of the angels, but he refused to bow down to Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. Today, what's our case? What's our situation? So whenever a person leaves namaz, he's resembling shaitan. If you like shaitan, obviously you're not going to be close to Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah ta'ala has distanced shaitan from his noble court. So namaz is very, very important. We are people, slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are those who recognize Allah to be worthy of worship. He is ilah. We say la ilaha illallah. He is the one worthy of worship. No one else is worthy of worship. Allah is the only Lord who is worthy of worship. He is the only one we worship. This is Tawheed, this is monotheism. Now, if a person doesn't worship Allah, forgoes his salah, lazy and negligent, then how can he hope for the best? How can he hope for blessings? How can he hope for barakat? I remember, insan is mukallaf. Insan is legally obliged to do certain acts of worship. Performing your salah, fasting in Ramadan, giving zakat, performing hajj, etc. Now, if one tries and strives to the utmost and they fall short, that's a different matter. So for example, with namaz, a person goes to sleep on time, right? In the evening, they know that if they don't sleep by 10, 11, they won't have proper sleep. In the morning, they have work as well. In between that, they have to wake up for salah as well. So they know when they should be sleeping. They go to sleep at the appropriate time. They wake up, their alarm's on. They do their wudu, they untie the knots of shaitan, as the hadith tells us. They offer salah, they stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, that's the ideal Muslim. But if someone made these preparations, slept on time, didn't have any obstructions to waking up, his alarm was on, everything, but still he didn't manage to get up, then he's not taken to task for that. He tried his utmost. He made every preparation to wake up for salah, couldn't wake up. It could happen. On the other hand, you got someone who knows that if he doesn't sleep by 11 p.m., offer salah and go to sleep, he is going to find it tough to wake up for Fajr. It's only a few hours till Fajr, maybe 4 hours, 5 hours. He won't be able to get up. Now that person knows full well that if he doesn't sleep at a certain time, he won't be able to get up because he sleeps very deeply. He has deep sleep. He puts his alarm on at 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 a.m., and he wants to get up a few hours later, a couple of hours later, 3 hours later maybe. Why? Because he's been scrolling on social media. Why? Because he's been chatting to friends. Why? Because he's been gaming. Why? Because he's been doing all sorts of things, unbeneficial things. And then he doesn't wake up, he's sinful. Why? Because he hasn't made the correct preparation. He hasn't put himself in a position to wake up for Fajr Salah. He's only got himself to blame. Whereas the other person made every effort and just happened to be the case that he couldn't get up, he's excused. So, namaz is important, and then preparing for namaz is very important. If a person, for example, knows that if he goes out to do a certain errand, he will miss salah, it's better for him, but it's necessary for him to offer salah, then go and do that errand. If he knows he's going to be overly engaged in a particular action, and he won't be able to offer salah, the circumstances such, he should make ihtimam, prepare for that beforehand. Our life should center around our salah, our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we want blessings, if we want barakah. That's the reality. We can't base namaz around our schedule. No, namaz comes first. Salah comes first. And Allah Ta'ala quotes those people who, ma'azallah, will be punished in the hellfire in the hereafter. They'll be asked, what made you reach here? What's the cause of you being here? مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرُ. And how come you're in the hellfire? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. Allahu Akbar. They'll say, we were not from those who prayed, who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of prayer. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Imagine that. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who pray on time and every salah as well. To the best of our ability, may Allah give us tawfiq to prepare for our salah on a daily basis. Like we prepare for salah on Jumu'ah. We make special ihtimam. Why? Because our deen teaches us. We wear our best clothes, we wear fragrance, we cleanse ourselves, purify ourselves, look the best. Ya Bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. The Quran tells us, oh son of Adam, O offspring of Adam, when you come to the masjid, adopt zina, adornment, beautification. Look the best, smell the best. Remove all foul smells, body odor, foul smell if it's coming from the mouth, whatever the case may be. And look your best, be in the best possible state. Then come and offer worship, do worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do that on Friday. But what about the other prayers? Do we think Friday compensates for missing all of the other prayers? Astaghfirullah. Of course, this is not the case. Where's this concept come from? Where's this mindset come from? Just as Jumu'ah is fard, Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha is also fard as well. We've got our priorities wrong if we think Jumu'ah is sufficient. And offering Jumu'ah means you don't have to offer for the rest of the week of any salah. Allahu Akbar. Look how important your salah is. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a narration that the first thing that a person will be asked about yawm al-qiyam, on the day of judgment, will be about salah. Is the salah in order? Remember, this salah initially was 50 prayers. Due to the wasila of Sayyidina Musa alayhi sallam, it came down to 5. We offer 5, we gain the reward of 50 prayers. But do you actually offer the 5 prayer? Do we actually make efforts? Do we actually give priority to the worship of Allah and reading namaz? Remember, ubudiyyah, servitude lies in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we bow our head on the floor, this is the most elevated place, elevated part of our jism, our body. We put it right on the ground. We say, Ya Allah, we're nothing. Whereas a disbeliever or non-Muslim or a hypocrite says, I can't do that, ma'adallah. I can't put my head on the floor, go into these positions, ruku, sujood, I can't do that. Astaghfirullah, takabbur. But ubudiyyah, Ya Allah, you gave me the hukum to put my head on the floor 5 different times of the day for prayers, labbaik. Labbaik, Ya Allah, I'm going to do it. This is the height of servitude, ubudiyyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is humbleness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the slaves of Rahman have been described as being humble. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. They walk the earth humbly. Every affair is with humbleness. They deal with people humbly. They don't show arrogance. They don't consider others as inferior. They know how lowly they are in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How they came from an impure drop of semen. Today, just because they've achieved things in life, and that too with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't let that get to them. They don't get big-headed. They attribute and ascribe every goodness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every blessing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are believers. In Ramadan, outside of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar Kabira. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are steadfast in our prayer. What does the father of Allah, Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma say? The father is Ra'isul Mutakallimin, Maulana Naqi Ali Khan, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. He says, whoever, without any valid reason, without any lawful excuse, misses his prayer, they do not have any shame in the court of Allah or the court of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They don't feel embarrassed in the least. They don't feel shameful. They're shameless. Astaghfirullah. There's no udhr. There's no valid reason. There's no excuse missing salah upon salah upon salah. The salahs are accumulating. You'll have to make them up. He says that on the Day of Judgment, if one wants to give the entire world as fidya, as a compensation for one salah that's missed, it won't be accepted from that person. Some people, they are more into their wasaif. Reading wasaif, it's a good thing. But they're so engaged and engrossed in that, in the sense that they'll go to the Imam Sahib, they'll go to someone who gives ta'weez. Tell me some wazifa. What shall I read? There's this difficulty, that calamity, this problem, that problem, this pain in the body. They're always in search of new wazif. For a believing person, the biggest wazifa, greatest wazifa, most powerful wazifa, is offering your 5 daily salah. You offer your 5 daily salah, Allah Ta'ala will remove your problems. Allah Ta'ala will grant you ease. Allah Ta'ala will grant you forgiveness. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will fulfill your matters and affairs. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will grant you His closeness. Closeness to His beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Come towards salah. If you're not habitual, start in Ramadan. Don't miss a single salah. Make that intention, firm intention. Who knows, by the barakah of that, Allah Ta'ala will give you such tawfiq that even after Ramadan, this current Ramadan, you will be steadfast in your prayers until your last breath. May that be the case. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who please the Prophet alayhi salam by performing our salah. The Prophet alayhi salam said, the coolness of my eyes is in salah. Salah is foremost, it's most important. We neglect the biggest formula that we have to success, and we start wandering here, there, and everywhere. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Ramadan Kareem, make us steadfast in our ibadat, and in particular, our fasts, and our performance of our 5 daily salah as well. Ameen bijahin nabil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam.
In Allah's divine law, we find peace and harmony. Adherence to Sharia, a blessing for you and me.